Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. She's one of the most misunderstood women in Scripture. Some people think she's a prostitute, but the Bible never says that. Some people think she anointed Jesus' feet. Well, Mary of Bethany did that, and the sinful woman in Luke 7 did that, but not this woman. What she did do is incredible. Mark 16:9 tells us, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. Seven what? Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend here in the Faith Radio Network, we look at different biblical characters. Last time, we looked at Jesus on Palm Sunday, and today, the person most associated with his resurrection, Mary Magdalene. So you see, she was demon-possessed, what the Bible calls a demoniac. Now, the demoniac lived in the tombs, yanked on chains, cut his skin with his rocks, and howled at the moon. If Mary Magdalene did all that, I don't think she was a busy prostitute. No, indeed. She wasn't a bad woman. She was a demon-possessed madwoman. Her story is in all four of the gospel accounts. She's mentioned by name 14 times. This is huge. Many people in the Bible are never named. Mary is named 14 times, so she is a major player in the first century church. We meet her in Luke 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. So, what is the good news? That a perfect God has made a way to be reconciled with imperfect us through his Son Jesus. And who traveled with Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us the 12 were with him. The 12, it's capitalized in the NIV. The 12 disciples, the guys, in other words. But Luke goes on to say, and also some women. So, not just men, but women traveled with Jesus? Yes, they did. And specifically, women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. So, wild women. These would have been the women that were not seen as the good girls. I just have to tell you, after being cured of evil spirits and diseases, I suspect they wanted to be with Jesus, and not many people wanted these women to be with them. It's just interesting to see that they were outcasts of society, but not of Jesus. And here's our first one, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. So another mention that she was a demoniac. What's interesting is she's the only demoniac in the Bible who is named and whose demons are numbered. She specifically had seven. That's the number of completion. Our girl was full up with demons. Luke 8:3 continues, Joanna, the wife of Cuzzo, the manager of Herod's household. Oh, you know she has a story to tell. Susanna, all we get is her name, and many others. So we have Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many, many others followed Jesus. Wow. So why are we so confused about Mary Magdalene's role when she is listed among these women who followed the Lord? Well, a couple things. She's from Magdala, a town with a reputation, was known for fish, feathers, fabric, and fallen women. So it was a bad town, but that doesn't make her a bad girl. One of the other challenges, there's so many Marys in the New Testament. Seven, to be exact. Yes, Mary Magdalene, but also Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary of Bethany, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary, the mother of John Mark, Mary, a diligent worker, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, who's also called, you'll love this, the other Mary, right? What I love about so many Marys, it's proof that these are real people. In a novel, you never give two characters the same name. You just don't do it. Well, this is not a novel, friends. This is the Bible. This is the truth. And so we have seven Marys. In fact, there were lots of Marys living in that part of the world in that time. And so no surprise, seven of them are mentioned in Scripture. So our Mary Magdalene specifically was a demoniac who was delivered. She was possessed by Satan and then repossessed by Christ. I want you to notice that when Jesus delivered people, he did it all at once with a word, gone. If you were a sinner, he said, you are forgiven. If you were sick, he said, you are healed. If you were demon-possessed, he said, you are set free. 1 John 3:8 tells us the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So that's exactly what he did for Mary Magdalene. Well, after he delivered her of her seven demons, no wonder she followed him. In fact, she followed him right to the cross. Matthew 27:55 says, many women were there watching from a distance. Many women. Well, how many? Also translated numerous, quite a few, doesn't tell us much. Nor do we have any measure of how afar off they were. But we know who they were. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. I love the fact that because he cared for them, they cared for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, Matthew 27:56. I love how Mary Magdalene is given pride of place. Not just here, but 8 out of 9 times, she is listed first in a series of women, which tells us something. She's older, she is wiser, or at least respected for sure, and clearly devoted to the Lord, because she was there at the cross. Later that afternoon, Luke 23:55 tells us the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. These women were so faithful. Among the lessons I think they have to teach us, wherever he leads, follow Jesus. Whatever pain you are enduring, keep your eyes on Jesus. And even when hope seems gone, stay close to Jesus. Matthew 27:61 says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. No mourning was permitted among those executed under Roman law. So Mary Magdalene had to grieve in silence. No loud wailing, which was in fact the custom for the women of that day, was to wail, to show their respect. They were loud and complaining and moaning. None of that could be done when it was an execution. You know, these women counted the hours until Saturday at sundown. Once they had kept the Sabbath holy, they were free to make their move. Mark 16:1 tells us, when the Sabbath was over, so this is Saturday night, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. Excuse me, big mistake there. The word is bought spices. You'll see why in a second. They bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. In other words, the girls went shopping. They did. And in fact, in modern Jerusalem, when the Sabbath ends on Saturday evening, all the shops open again for a short time because they've been closed for the last 24 hours. Well, we had the same scenario 2,000 years ago. Once their task was accomplished, once they'd visited the various stalls and gotten what they needed, Mary Magdalene and the others went home. I suspect they tried to sleep, but they were planning to rise at dawn and visit his tomb. You see, they had not forgotten him. They had not abandoned him. And they had not, it just has to be said, denied knowing him. Not these women, and especially not Mary Magdalene. Then morning came. Easter. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. Mark 16:2. The Greek here literally means deep twilight. So it's that moment when the sun is just about to crest the horizon. These women were already on the move, running through the dark streets of Jerusalem. One little logistical issue kind of raised its head, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? I love the fact that up until now that really hadn't come up. But now that they're on their way, it suddenly struck them, what are we going to do when we get there? I can just tell you, as a woman, this is how we function. We run on heart. We just go. the disciples, the male disciples, if, you know, honestly, they're even up yet, they're probably sitting over coffee, sketching out how to move the rock. They're being very left-brained about it, how you're going to move the rock, get underneath it, all of that. And you know what? There was no need for the women to worry about this. God has already gone ahead of them. Mark 16:4 says, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away." Oh, make no mistake. It was a huge stone. But no stone is too big for God. Is there a stone in your spiritual life, an obstacle standing in the way of your faith? Let me tell you, God wants to move that stone, just like he did that morning in Jerusalem. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. I love the subtle humor of the Bible. And they were alarmed, also translated startled, astonished, and completely taken aback. Now, the LRV on this verse, you remember what that is. That's the Lizzie Revised Version. These women were scared out of their minds. Angels don't show up every day. And look how showy their attire was. His appearance, Matthew 28:3 tells us, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. You know, on a bright sunny day, that on a bright snowy day, you can barely look at that snow. It's so bright. This is how white his clothes were. And lightning, if a lightning bolt strikes the earth, you don't just calmly notice it and say, "Well, now look at that." Oh, no. You are startled. You are astonished. And you are completely taken aback. And the women weren't the only ones shaken in their sandals. The Roman guards were all a-twitter, too. The Bible says in Matthew 28:4, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. So we have a dead man walking around and live men falling down dead. What a morning. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Luke 24:5. Love what happens next. Then the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." Matthew 28:5. Do not be afraid? A little late for that. Here's the good news. When an angel says, "Do not be afraid," what comes next is always good news. You check me out on that in the Bible. But when an angel says, "Do not be afraid," you're good. "For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." So we want to make it perfectly clear why the women were there, who they're looking for. That man who was crucified, who was dead, who was buried. Oh, but Matthew 28:6 says, "He is not here." Because the stone couldn't hold him, and death couldn't hold him, and Satan couldn't hold him, and the angel couldn't hold the good news one more second. He has risen. Woohoo! Sorry, the woohoo is not in the Bible, but it certainly is in my heart. Well, our whole faith, friends, is wrapped around this truth. Our hero Jesus came back from the dead, and he is alive in us. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Last weekend, we walked through Palm Sunday with Jesus, but today, it's Easter morning with Mary Magdalene. You can listen again to the podcast on myfaithradio.com or lizcurtishiggs.com. And I hope while you're there, you'll check out my podcast, as well as my newsletter and some of the books I've written, including The Women of Easter, which has been our source book this month as we've looked at various women, Mary of Bethany, Mary of Nazareth, Mary Magdalene, and our Jesus. Now, back to the story. Matthew 28:8 says, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy." So descriptive. We can imagine our sisters tripping over their tunics and stumbling over their words. They're laughing and crying at the same time. So excited. And they ran to tell his disciples. Enthusiastic women and sleepy men, it just doesn't make a good combination. Luke 24:11 tells us, "But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense, also translated an idle tale, utter madness. They thought they were making it all up. But they were there. Mary and the other Mary and Joanna, they were there. Yes, but they were women. Here's what we need to understand. In that time and place, in both the Jewish and Roman traditions, female witnesses were suspect and a woman's testimony didn't count. So keep that in mind when we get to the end of this story. And to be fair to the guys, they've only heard that Jesus is risen. No one has actually seen him yet. So Mary Magdalene convinces Peter and John to come back to the tomb. I love the fact that she went right to the top. See, I might have started with a lesser disciple like Thomas. You doubt everything anyway. Let's see if we can convince you. But she went right to the top, Peter and John. So she is clearly respected by these male leaders because they run with her back to the tomb. They stick their heads in. They see the abandoned grave clothes. And they believe the tomb is empty, but they don't believe he's risen. John 20, verse 9 says, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. It's Easter morning, friends. They still didn't get it. But if we're honest, we're the same way. We hear the truth of God's word and we don't always understand. We don't always believe. We don't always trust. So the disciples go back to their homes, but Mary Magdalene, she couldn't leave. John 20:11 says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Her hope is gone. Her heart is broken. Have you been there? Yeah, me too. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. If you've been to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, you'll know that it has a very low door and very small chambers. So when she had to bend over to look inside, we get that. And she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Now, earlier, we just had one angel. This time we have two angels, so it is a different sighting. And it's also interesting, it doesn't say that Mary Magdalene is afraid. There's no fear here at this point. I'm guessing by this point in her life, demons, angels, whatever, she's had everything the spiritual world can throw at her. And these two angels ask her, woman, why are you crying? Of course, we're thinking it's pretty obvious. She wants to see Jesus. Listen to the cry of her heart. They have taken my Lord away. Note the distinction, my Lord, the very personal nature of their relationship. And she goes on in John 20:13, and I don't know where they have put him. See, the sad truth, we have to be honest here. Mary is still looking for a body. She still has a stone rolled in the way of her faith. But to her credit, she is there. Even struggling, even perhaps doubting, Mary is still faithful. Oh, let me learn from that, Lord. At this, John 20:14 says, she turned around. This what? Did she hear him behind her or just sense his presence? Did the angels bow in reverence? We don't know, but we do know she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. I'm thinking, how's that possible after all the time she spent with him? Here's the Lizzie theory. I think he held back his identity from her, just as he would later on the road to Emmaus, when the disciples were kept from recognizing him, according to Luke 24:16. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him 15 verses later. I think it's the same way here for Mary Magdalene. Jesus waited until she was ready. But now he speaks the first word of the risen Christ, woman. John 20:15. You have to ask the question, why a woman? If women were not considered good witnesses, why did Jesus choose Mary Magdalene and a former demoniac at that? He chose Mary because she was faithful. Even without evidence, others strayed, Mary stayed. And he asks her, why are you crying? It's interesting, that's the same question, of course, the angels had just asked her, which tells us Mary's a very serious leaker. Makes sense, the word Magdalene is what gives us the word maudlin, which means one who cries, weeps. And of course, there's no shame in crying. Joseph wept, David wept, Peter wept, and as we well know, Jesus wept. But the second question he asked Mary is, who is it you are looking for? Is he being cruel at this point? Making Mary search for him and ask for him and wait for him? Oh, no, no, no. Jesus wants us to grow in our faith, and that only happens when we come to the end of proof and the end of facts, and we have nothing left but faith and hope. And Mary Magdalene is there. Thinking he was the gardener, ooh, that tells us a lot. He's very human-looking, not larger than life, not shining like these angels, and definitely not a dead man. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. Oh, Mary's right at the end of her rope now. She doesn't ask who he is. She doesn't tell him who she is. She is just so done at this point. So the Lord rescued her. Jesus said to her, Mary. Even though 50% of the women in Palestine were named Mary, I did not make that up. It's true. She knew who spoke her name. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, the language of the people, Rabboni, which means literally my great teacher. This is proof that their relationship was a pure one. She doesn't say, honey, sweetheart. She says, my great teacher. Then Jesus says, do not hold on to me. Honestly, that's kind of hard to hear. Lord, you've been gone, dead, for 3 days. Of course, she's perhaps grabbing his hand or the hem of his garment. We don't know. But he says, do not hold on to me. Maybe for two reasons. He has places to go. He says, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Oh, think how eager he must be to return home. But there's something else she needs to let go of. She needs to let go of the Jesus that she knew. Because he is not the same Jesus she saw on Friday. She has to let go of her old definition of Jesus. He was her friend and her teacher, but now he's the risen Savior of the world. He didn't just come back from the dead like Lazarus, who was still mortal. Jesus would be alive forever. Now, before the Lord leaves, he has an assignment for Mary. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, John 20:17. Wait a minute, go to my brothers? She's already done that. That's what I would have said. Lord, I'm sorry, but they didn't believe me last time. But see, not going is not an option. Jesus has given her two direct commands, go and tell. So Mary Magdalene went, about half a mile, a brisk 10-minute walk, into Jerusalem, and now it's time to tell. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. These five words changed the world. I have seen the Lord. Not I have seen an empty tomb. I have seen the risen Savior. Not I touched his grave clothes. I touched the risen Savior. Not I heard he was risen. I heard him speak my name. I have seen the Lord. Jesus calls us all to do the same, to go and tell, not just on Easter, but every day of the year. You've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs this Easter weekend. You're welcome to listen again on the podcast, myfaithradio.com, lizcurtishiggs.com, and you'll find a short Bible study guide for this lesson online as well. Next month, we'll be looking at the stories of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz from the book of Ruth. One of my favorite stories, and if I may say so, well placed after the story of our kinsman redeemer Jesus. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We can never say thank you enough for what happened this weekend in history and what happens every Easter in our hearts. Lord, we travel again through Lent and we experience the exaltation and despair of Holy Week, beginning with Palm Sunday and the celebration. But then it's Maundy Thursday, and then it's Good Friday, God's Friday. And then Saturday, we wait through the Great Sabbath. And finally, finally, He is risen. He is risen indeed. All because of you, Jesus. We thank you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.